Hello and welcome to this podcast. I'm Basil Trimber. I'm a medical assistant at Kentis. Kentis is a player in the clinical trials ecosystem. We are a service provider and we collect patients' data during clinical trials. I'm glad to be here today to talk about clinical trials and especially decentralized clinical trials and their impact on health disparities. I'm very pleased to be joined by Trishna Baraja, who brings us her vision and expertise. I'll let you introduce yourself to our listeners, Trishna.
Thanks, Basil. So my name is Trishna Baraja. I'm based in the UK and I'm a multi-award winning health advocate and patient engagement consultant. I work internationally with various stakeholders, including industry like pharma and digital health companies. I also work with academia, clinicians, patient groups and charities to embed the patient voice throughout the healthcare journey and medicine's development lifecycle. I'm a visiting lecturer on patient engagement at King's College London University and sit on numerous international and national steering groups, committees and governance boards. Now, I have a particular passion for and expertise in good and equitable patient engagement practice, patient involvement in clinical trial design, and diversity and equity in healthcare and medicines development, all of which I'm sure we're going to touch on during our discussion.
Thank you, Trishna. As you know, today's discussion is about decentralized clinical trials, or DCTs. Just to ensure that all our listeners are on the same page, how do you, as a patient advocate and industry advisor, define DCTs?
I'm really glad we're starting with this question because I've seen some confusion as to what DCTs might mean or involve. So for me, decentralized clinical trials are about taking some or all of a clinical trial outside of the traditional site setting and bringing it into a setting that is local to the patient, whether that's into their home or into somewhere close by. So for example, a community pharmacy. This may or may not involve the use of technology for some aspects of the clinical trial protocol, but the key thing is that it attempts to reduce the burden of participation by reducing the need to travel to a traditional site. So decentralization could affect informed consent, drug administration, tests and measures, patient-reported outcomes, consultations. There's so many different aspects. And I think it's important that we clarify what we mean by decentralization. You know, I've also seen other terms such as digital trials, virtual trials, remote trials. Decentralization really encompasses all of these.
Indeed. Now that the subject is established and clear to everyone, I would like to address an important point about clinical trials. This point is patient recruitment. As we know, most clinical trials miss the enrollment target. There is a gap between the number of patients reaching trials and the study recruitment needs. Do you think this can be partially explained by trust issues between patients and the healthcare system? Can DCT help fix this situation and how?
So I definitely do think, and there is research to suggest that certain population groups, especially from ethnic minorities, may choose not to participate in clinical trials because of trust issues. Now, this might be due to historic treatment of certain groups within clinical research and the clinical setting, or it could be to do with lack of awareness and education about what's involved in a clinical trial. However, I don't think that we can say that trust issues are the only reason why trials might be challenged when it comes to recruitment, and we do need to look at other things. So, for example, logistics, inclusion and exclusion criteria, awareness of clinical trials, and many other things as well, all of which might result not only in low recruitment, but also in low diversity and poor representativeness of the target population. So where do DCTs come into this? Well, DCTs might help to improve trust in the healthcare system because they might enable patients to feel more in control of their participation in the trial because they'll be more actively involved and have greater responsibilities in the trial itself. For example, conducting tests at home, for instance. Placing some of the trial into a community setting might also make patients feel more comfortable and can aid in the overcoming challenges like language problems and logistics of travelling to a site. But, and we have to remember this, the trust issue is something that is complex, and DCTs alone aren't necessarily going to fix the situation. For that, we need to have an improved shared decision making. We need to have greater cultural awareness, cultural sensitivity, and appropriateness of care. We need improved diversity of healthcare staff so that patients are able to see people like them when they're accessing the healthcare system and have conversations where they might feel better understood. We also need to build better relationships between communities that have traditionally distrusted or mistrusted the healthcare system and doctors and researchers. And I think we also have to avoid just applying a blanket approach. Each community might need a specific approach. We need to delve deeper into the complexities rather than just skimming the surface and hoping for the best. These are all things that I think need to be worked on for the trust issue to be addressed, and DCTs plays one part of this.
You mentioned diversity and communities. It's an interesting point. I'll come back to it in a few moments. Earlier, in talking about DCTs, you mentioned burden. And with DCT, we found ourselves in a situation where patients are more involved in their clinical trials, which can be beneficial to improving patients' compliance by making patients player of their trial and more engaged. However, do you think the patient's burden could also increase as a result? If yes, how would you advise the industry so that we ensure DCT do not increase the burden and becomes counterproductive?
I'm really glad that you use the word compliance here, because I think language is definitely something that needs to be looked at if we're going to improve the relationship between patients and clinical research. So compliance, adherence, these are all terms that are very medical and almost places blame on the patient if they're not able to follow a trial protocol. So firstly, I think our language around trials needs to be more positive and less prescriptive. When it comes to patients taking more responsibility within a DCT, I think there's two things that need to be addressed here. Yes, by having patients more involved, I think there can be a greater sense of ownership and sort of investment in the trial. Plus, some of the patient burden is reduced, which can improve their ability to follow a protocol. However, in other ways, yes, the burden can increase, and we need to ensure that patients are confident to take on the responsibilities that a DCT might give to them. So, in terms of ensuring patients aren't overburdened by having to take on lots of things themselves, we need to ensure that the protocol is being designed with input from patients themselves so that we can understand what might be too much, what might be too complicated, or what might just not be feasible for patients to take on. I've seen some protocols where patients are expected to carry out as many as 8 to 10 different tests and or questionnaires on a daily basis without sort of seemingly much thought being put into how long this is going to take them or how complicated it might be. So we need to be thinking, what can be effectively be done by the patient? What is actually necessary? We have to put ourselves in their shoes and walk through a typical day in the life of a patient in this trial. And the best way to do that is to get patients involved in the protocol design themselves. And then the second point was about ensuring that patients feel confident to take on the responsibility that DCTs can sort of thrust upon them. And this is about making sure the patient study information documents are clear, they're understandable, so that patients are aware of what will be expected of them and they fully understand what it will mean for their daily life. Again, I've seen study information sheets where by the end of it, what is usually a very lengthy and complex document, I'm actually none the wiser as to what a typical day within the trial will look like and what I would be supposed to do and when. So these documents need to be simplified, something that Digicutool could potentially help with in terms of e-consent and electronic patient information sheets. And we also need to ensure that patients are given the right and enough support, education and training so that they don't feel like they're on their own in having to do the things in the trial that they're being asked to do. So if they need to use a device to measure something for an endpoint, make sure they're comfortable with using it. Make sure there's plenty of opportunity to ask questions and that there's different ways for them to access instruction manuals and technical support. Things like this are all necessary to support the patient in a DCT. It's not about giving them the responsibility and then just leaving them to it. There needs to be support all the way through.
Yes. We definitely need to accompany patients during that trial. Trishna, you mentioned before the need to increase diversity. As we know, patients are not fully represented in clinical trials. We are facing a situation where certain diseases are more present in certain populations and clinical trials are run on other population types. With patients not having access to clinical trials that are relevant to them, market drugs get launched without having been tested in the population they are supposed to treat. Do you think that DCT may be part of a solution to improve the situation, and how?
I do think that DCTs can play a part in improving accessibility to clinical trials because they can reduce the logistical burdens around participation. So this includes things like the cost of participating, for example, travel, childcare, taking time off work. It also means that trials can be taken to places where there may not be usually good access to healthcare, for example, remote or rural populations. And the trial can be taken to areas where there are more patients that fit the criteria that you need. So patients might feel more comfortable in their local or their home settings, but equally, in some cultures where illness isn't talked about, some people might not want to have the clinical trial brought to them because it might throw the spotlight onto them in their community that they're ill. So they may not want a nurse to come for home visits, for instance, because people might see that they're unwell. Also, some people might find it difficult to participate in DCTs because they don't have access to the technology required or might not know how to use it and would feel more comfortable giving that responsibility to the site staff. So for me, it's about what's right for the individual. And this is what DCTs represent for me. It's another option. It's not a single solution, but it can be an option for those that it is suitable for, and this means potentially better representativeness.
Thank you. To go further on this subject, the FDA recently provided a document named Diversity Plans to Improve Enrollment of Participants from Underrepresented Racial and Ethnic Populations in Clinical Trials. It is a guidance for the industry to change and improve their methods. I have two questions. Do you think this is a good way to improve diversity? And can we expect a similar document in Europe from the EMA?
So in answer to the first part of your question, do I think that this is a good way to improve diversity? I definitely think it's a good start. And there are certain areas of the document that I think are really very encouraging. So firstly, the fact that the FDA is recommending putting an actual plan in place. This means that the representation of racial and ethnic populations in clinical trials will need to be thought about and considered properly. It's really encouraging sponsors to think about diversity from the beginning, not just when recruitment becomes a challenge. It will hopefully get sponsors thinking in a more targeted and organised fashion when it comes to diversity. Now, the FDA has already published guidance on other aspects of diversity, so things like age, pregnant women, women in general. And again, this is encouraging because it shows how diversity and representation goes beyond only race and ethnicity. And also, the recommendations address a range of topics. So things like collection and analysis of racial and ethnic data, broadening eligibility criteria of the operation of the trial itself. Again, I think this encourages sponsors to consider that a strategic approach is needed to tackle this issue. It's not about just looking at it here and there. And then I think encouraging sponsors to do something right from the very beginning is also beneficial, rather than, like I said, trying to solve a problem when it's already occurred. For example, when a trial hasn't been able to meet its recruitment targets, and we know that this is something where if a trial hasn't met its recruitment targets and there's already an issue with diversity, often that's when sponsors will start to look at the issue. Well, I think this document will be very critical in encouraging sponsors to think, actually, we need to be looking at this right from the very start. All of this is hopefully going to get sponsors to realise that improving diversity needs a systematic and consistent approach throughout the trial. And then your second question was, can we expect a similar document in Europe from the EMA? And I don't see why not. We know that where the FDA goes, you know, often the EMA will follow and vice versa. And I think the diversity issue is often discussed within the context of the US, but we know that it's also an issue in the UK and Europe. So this is something that we need to be addressing. So I think that providing guidance to sponsors will only help the situation. And I do hope that this is something that other regulators will also, you know, take on board and look at and provide similar guidance for.
I share your hopes, Trishna. So in the end, to the question of whether DCTs are a solution to reduce health disparities, what would be your concluding remarks?
I think that DCTs offer the most significant potential to improve access to clinical research for a wider range of and more people than we've ever had since the first clinical trial was developed. Having the possibility of bringing all or part of a trial to the patient according to what works for them is really what patient-focused healthcare is all about. And as such, I think it's something that everyone in the industry should be considering as an option where possible and where appropriate in every clinical trial that they develop. DCTs represent one facet of the future of clinical research, where having options available and making the trial work for the patient will hopefully become the norm.
Thank you, Trishna. It was a real pleasure to discuss with you. I do hope that the industry and all the actors will follow your recommendations. We come to the end of this podcast. Thank you to all those who listened to us. And thank you again, Trishna.